Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. This is the Lamp and Light broadcast coming to you from Central Baptist Church in beautiful Ocala, Florida. Lamp and Light is a ministry that takes a book of the Bible, verse by verse, teaching it as it is, to men as they are, without compromise or apology, while at the same time speaking the truth in love, giving the lamp and light to all.
Yesterday, in our study of 1 Samuel chapter 22, we were taught that the number one priority of the Christian life is to build the local church. Let's continue with that thought today.
And now, here is our teacher and radio pastor, Dr. Andy Bloom.
We need to go from the meager form and get into the reality, having the fullness. We need to leave the worldly ways, get into the wonders of New Testament Christianity. Here are some questions that we ought to ask ourselves, because it's important to know whether you are ready to make a commitment. Is your life ready for a commitment? You're a pastor. Are you ready to lead your church in this kind of commitment? And so some questions we could ask ourselves. Am I discontented and dissatisfied over the sheer case in which my life is lived? A little pain in it. So appallingly little that even hints of my identification with the sufferings of Christ, what we just read in Hebrews chapter 11. And then we think of ourselves, and they without us are not complete. Do I live every day in the reality of the manifested presence of the Lord Jesus Christ, and know with a peace in my heart that I'll hear, "Well done, good and faithful servant"? Questions that we don't face them now, as Christians, when we're at the judgment seat of Christ, we'll really wish we had. I hear so many people talking about, we're helping to build the kingdom of God. We're going to build God's kingdom. We're getting the big kingdom picture. And such statements as that, even coming from preachers, shows the total ignorance of the Word of God. You realize when Christ comes back to this earth, He's bringing His kingdom with Him. You see, in this era in which you and I live, we're not building some kingdom. We're building the local church. That is what God has given us to do. We're to build His church. And that ought to be the number one priority in the life of the Christian. To build it through the winning of the lost, and then teaching them to observe all that He has commanded us, edifying the saints, and above all, glorifying the name of Jesus Christ. The Christ-like life is a life of service and sacrifice. But particularly, it's a life that spends much time in God's Word, meditating therein, obeying its commands, but getting to know better the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, we see a false report was brought against these men here in verses 9 and 10 when he said that they came to a high tub, and a high tub had inquired of the Lord for him. That was a lie. Now, he did give him victuals after David asked him to, and he wasn't until he knew that they were pure. And he gave the sword of Goliath when David asked for it. What's he supposed to do when one of the generals in the army are telling you, "What have you got here? We need it"? And so we see what happens next, verses 11 and 12. Then the king sent to call Ahimelech, the priest, the son of Ahitub, and all his father's house, the priests that were in Nob, and they came, all of them, to the king. Now think about this. They all come obedient. Obedient to the one that was the authority that God placed there. Now, you may love, you may hate our president's policies, but he's our president. He didn't get there without God knowing about it, and God's allowed it. So whether you like it or dislike it, it was God who has allowed it. But he cannot usurp power over God. He can attack the saints of God. He can attack the people of God. He can attack God's house. But he cannot stay the hand of God. And we need to understand that. And so when God tells us in his word that we're to obey those that have authority over us, that's what we should do. And Ahimelech was called to come, and so he comes. In verse 12, Paul says, "Hear now, thou son of Ahitub." And he answered, "Here am I, my Lord." So he asks him, Ahimelech, a question here, who's the son of Ahitub, and asks him just a plain question. And he said, "Okay, now I want you to answer me. I want you to answer me. You hear now? You pay close attention." And Ahimelech is saying, "Okay, Lord." And by Lord he meant king. It was a term used that way. "Whatever you ask, here am I. I'm ready. I'll answer you. I want to be a help to you." And in verse 13 he says, "And Saul said unto him, Why have ye conspired against me? Thou am the son of Jesse, and thou hast given him bread and a sword, and hast inquired of God for him, that he should rise against me, to lie in wait as at this day." Well, there's two lies there. First of all, he didn't inquire of God for him. And then secondly, David was not lying in wait for Saul. So now we see an unjust judge. You might say a kangaroo court. Perhaps Saul believed his own made-up stories and lies, and the gossip to the point now that he had said it so much and was so fearful of it through his jealousy made him believe the lies. Saul is a jealous man. Therefore, he's an insecure man. No one can be jealous and be secure. Saul believed the gossip, and he had so much hate, he was blind to the truth. Doeg had spoke up and made a statement that was false, and he doesn't investigate. Isn't it interesting that we're told in 1 Timothy 5 not to receive an accusation against an elder, speaking there of the pastor, except it be in the face of two witnesses? Now, if we're to do that, then when somebody gossips about your pastor, find out in what they're saying, did they actually observe it, or is this hearsay? You see, hearsay is not evidence. They need to observe it. Otherwise, you're holding your own kangaroo court against a man of God. And so they are there, and they confront it, and it's not true, but Saul is not willing to believe the truth. You see, when Saul quit doing God's will, God's way, the spirits, Satan, were able to gain a strength and a victory over him. And so one of those evil spirits would be jealousy. And that jealous spirit was able to begin to bring other spirits of doubt, of hate, of fear into Saul's mind and life. You know, the devil can do that to you as well. As a matter of fact, even if all the things said had been true, Saul would not have to fear if he was walking with God. Well, this man does not find his satisfaction in God, in his word, or in the promises of God for all eternity. And if you look at this life only, then the promises of God for eternity, the promises of his presence won't do you much good either. First of all, you have to have a heart that's right. To get saved, it's with the heart man believeth unto righteousness. We see in a couple places in Scripture the accusation, thy heart is not right with God. And here's just another indication of that. Well, we'll go on into verses 14 and 15. He says, then Ahimelech answered the king and said, and who is so faithful among all thy servants as David, which is the king's son-in-law, and goeth at thy bidding, and is honorable in thine house? Did I then begin to inquire of God for him? Be it far from me. Let not the king impute anything unto his servant, nor to all the house of my father. For thy servant knew nothing of all this, less or more. Well, Ahimelech begins his defense. Now, he didn't have time to prepare this. He's been brought to the king. King wants to see you. And he comes with he says, bring your whole family. So he's coming. He says, boy, this must be important. He finds out it really is important. But he reminds the king, David is your son-in-law. The character of this man has been such that he's looked out for you all along. He has spoken well of you wherever he goes. And he reminds Saul of what David has been to him. My friend, Saul is without excuse and wisdom because, yes, Doeg made a false report, but also a true witness was given to him, and Saul didn't want to believe it. Isn't it interesting? Today, somebody brings an unsaved person in their family or they work with the church, a preacher preaches a gospel message, a guy doesn't get saved, and they're upset with the preacher, and they say, oh, that preacher just didn't preach good enough. Had he preached well enough, that guy would have gotten saved. Oh, I didn't like the way he presented. Look, he presented the gospel. That was his responsibility. When someone doesn't get saved, it's because they have rejected. If they've heard the gospel, they're without excuse. And if they did not receive Christ as Savior, they're also without wisdom. Instead of getting mad at the preacher, get mad at the devil, because the devil has a power over that person.
This is your radio pastor, Pastor Andy Bloom, saying, may the Word of God be a lamp unto your feet and a light unto your pathway today.
We want to thank you for listening to the Lamp and Light broadcast. If you would like a CD or cassette tape of today's message by Dr. Bloom, send us your name, mailing address, the radio station by which you are listening, the date of the broadcast, and a gift of $5 to Lamp and Light Broadcast, 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, Ocala, Florida, 34471. We also welcome your comments on the broadcast and Bible questions. Again, you may write us at the same address, which is 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, Ocala, Florida, 34471. You may also visit us on the web at www.centralbaptistocala.org. No breaks. Click Sermon Library. Again, that web address is www.centralbaptistocala.org with no break. This is your announcer, Jerry Banks, saying may God's peace be with all that are in Christ Jesus.